The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This week has been a little crazy. Sit back and get your recap of what happened and what is happening in sports, entertainment, movies, TV, politics, technology, and current events. You can count on getting a dose of comedy, great guests, fun, the best talk around, and even more outrageous fun. That's why we love those two guys. Fun, fascinating, and real. We are live with the Brian and Lee Show. So unbelievable, we could not make this stuff up, even if we tried.
John Wanamaker proudly presents our annual Christmas pageant of lights. wait, that's what? The wrong show.
Wrong show. Yeah.
But it is our Christmas show this week.
Yeah, man, this is great. I mean, Christmas, I think when we go on, right, Christmas, this is the 26th. No.
No, Christmas is the 25th.
The 25th.
The week after this is the 26th, which right. is Boxing Day.
Right, so that's why we're having our Christmas show
now,
today.
That's right, here on the 19th.
Yeah, because we want to get it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. How are you doing?
We're doing good. And it's great to be back here at the Delaware Valley. I'm Brian.
I'm Lee.
And this is the Brian and Lee Show coming at you on WWDB 860 AM.
And weather outside is sunny.
Don't sing.
Oh, okay.
You know, at least I tried to be a radio voice.
Well, yeah. Well.
With that introduction.
You did a good job.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. And behind the bulletproof glass is Brett, and he's here.
How's it going, guys? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And God
Anyone
bless
hear that?
Us and everyone.
It's a Christmas spirit.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Okay. I love it. Why not? Yeah. And happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa. It's great. It's great to be here with you.
I hope you guys had a great Hanukkah, by the way.
We did indeed.
We did. We lit the candles.
Mm-hmm.
Almost burnt down the house.
That's not Hanukkah if that doesn't happen.
That's right.
Yeah, you have to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. Watch football. The Eagles, man, they won. They won a game.
They won thought. The game. I can't believe it.
How could they win a game?
New quarterback.
New quarterback. That's what it is.
And you think we don't have a quarterback controversy now?
And their quarterback was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's.
But if you look at the way we won that game, or the Eagles won that game, it's a miracle that they won it.
It is?
Yeah. Because they gave up a lot of points late in the game.
Well, they did, yeah. But, yeah, they held the Saints to no points in the first half.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean
amazing.
It is, but it doesn't mean anything. You got to hold them to no points in the second half, too.
Yeah, but that's hard to do, you know, because the defense gets tired, you know. And a lot of the secondary got hurt.
And I have to tell you that Charlie Brown came to life at the end of that first half.
Oh, really? Why is that?
We couldn't get the score, so we had to go for a field goal.
Right.
We're on the 5-yard line, and nobody can miss such an easy kick.
Yeah.
Not even you know who.
And he missed it.
And he missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, they have to make it harder on themselves, though, you know.
Of course.
But the new quarterback looked pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, Hurst looked pretty cool.
Yeah, he hurt him.
Good. He looks good.
From what I gathered from the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is he getting whipped by my family because my team beat theirs, sadly?
Yeah, I watched that game
I was actually rooting for my family's team.
Yeah, I know. Talking about a controversy.
Yeah, and belt whips.
Yeah.
And I'm joking.
And in other sports news, Army beats Navy in the second annual Fog Bowl.
Yeah, that was something. You got to watch another Fog Bowl.
Yeah, that was, 10-0, 12-0, something like that?
But Army won, again.
Army won.
Did I miss the Army-Navy game?
You did.
You did.
I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
You sound like surprised that it happened.
I knew it was coming up, I just didn't know what day.
Yeah, it happened last week.
That's right.
Saturday.
Oh, man, I've
A week ago.
It wasn't much of a buildup, I guess.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Mainly because they can only have so many people there.
And they didn't have it in Philadelphia. They had it in West Point.
That makes sense. I remember that one year it was a really good buildup. They had it in Philadelphia, and they had jets fly over the stadium.
Oh,
what year was that?
Yeah.
Oh, they do that, I think, just about every time they have it in Philadelphia.
That's probably why I didn't even notice. But I think they had it last year. I just forgot about it this year.
Right.
What was really scary is that they had it in 2001, and we were at the grand opening of a bank, my mother and I, and we forgot that the game was going on at the same time. And so we hear buzz jets overhead.
I would have been terrified, too, because that was right after 9/11.
Right, exactly. And so we thought we were under attack again.
Mm. Those were nightmares, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was something. And President Trump was at the
he threw the coin for the last time.
Yeah.
One last coin toss?
Yeah, exactly.
Did his duty one last time. But what are you going to do? You know,
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep fighting. I did not lose.
I guess not. No. So,
but apparently he did. On Monday, they made it official.
They made it official. He lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Electoral College voted, and boom, he lost.
And he says, don't stop fighting for me. Give me more money. I got to keep fighting.
Well, what was even more interesting, that Mitch McConnell
finally said, congratulations to President-elect Biden.
Yeah. He did that. I never thought he'd do that.
I never thought he would do that either.
Boy, took him a while.
An equal congratulations to our Senate colleague, Kamala Harris, as vice president.
Yeah. Elect. Well, you know why he did that. He did that because an hour earlier, Putin congratulated Biden.
That's right. I forgot about that.
He waited until Putin did his congratulations.
Now it's official.
Yeah, now it's official.
Mm-hmm.
Putin congratulated him, so I can congratulate him. It's okay.
Oh, man.
It's okay if Putin does it.
Exactly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a great show for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Our guest today is Kip Harris, who wrote an interesting book.
I was actually surprised when I read this. It said he's a 3-time cancer survivor.
He's a 3-time? We're going to ask him about that.
Yeah.
A three-time cancer survivor.
Is it 3 different cancers, or is it the same one that kept coming back?
Well, that's what I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a book called Improbable Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk to him about that book. So he'll be coming up shortly. And this is our Christmas show. We're going to have a lot of Christmas references.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to talk about favorite songs, Christmas songs, favorite Christmas movies, favorite Christmas candy.
Very interesting subject that came up earlier in the week. James, who does the Angry Video Game Nerd on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's also a movie buff.
Yeah.
And he makes the argument that Batman Returns is a Christmas movie.
No, it's not. How can you make that?
Well, he has 10 ways to back it up.
Okay.
Number one, it's snowing.
I know it takes place during Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Number two, it's right by Christmas.
What do you mean?
It's like right before Christmas.
Oh, right before Christmas.
That's a question I got.
Yeah.
Do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie, though?
And everybody says yes.
Yes.
Everyone does consider Die Hard a Christmas movie, and I do consider it too.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't consider Batman Returns a Christmas movie.
No.
Really? Even if the last words of the movie, which it is, says, Merry Christmas, sir.
No, I don't know why. Why don't we?
I don't know.
Probably because it's a Batman movie. You don't think of Batman as Christmas.
I think that's it, primarily.
People already argue that Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie when it is.
Well, it is. They have a Christmas tree in the middle of Yokohama
Plaza. Batman did as well.
Plaza, right?
Batman Returns, you had bats flying out of the tree.
Okay.
Is it because Batman didn't really focus on Christmas like Die Hard did?
I think that's it. You know,
I thought they did. I mean, the scenes that he showed in his editing kind of backs up the point.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to take a look at
that.
Yeah,
I got to take a look, too. I just feel like when you think of that movie, you don't think of Christmas.
No.
When Die Hard, you do.
Die Hard, you do, because the whole reason he went there was to celebrate Christmas with his wife.
Yeah, where I feel like for the Batman movie, was it Batman Returns, right?
Yeah. Well, the argument he made, Batman Returns. And the argument he makes about why there's no snow in Die Hard is because it's L.A.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
You don't see. You do not see snow in L.A. unless it's on a soundstage.
Is because like they don't really evolve it around Christmas. It's just a coincidence. Christmas around the corner for them.
Maybe.
Maybe
that's it.
Yeah.
Or Die Hard, they make it actually about Christmas, but people don't consider it because there's no Christmas sing along.
And they have the Santas.
What's that?
In Die Hard, they have a Santa.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing a Santa in Die Hard. All I remember seeing is a bunch of explosions.
Well, they have a Santa. The black chauffeur is. Doesn't he get dressed up as Santa?
I don't know.
I thought so.
Off the roof. I can't think of his name right now. People say it's not really Christmas yet until he falls off the roof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
What's his name again? It's killing me.
Carl Winslow?
No, I don't think it was that.
No, he was the officer.
No, who's the guy, the villain from Harry Potter that fell off the roof?
Oh, I can't remember. Snape?
I mean, I know he was Snape, but in Die Hard.
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it in such a long time.
Well, we're going to come back right after these words.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
A new day has begun. As the sun rises, our staff, drivers, and modern fleet of vehicles are ready. Our wheels are rolling. Mission number one is to safely transport your special needs child to and from school. Getting students to school and home again on time and safe is what we do. It's what we're good at. Transporting people. It's in our name, our minds, and our hearts. For more information, contact us at 215-517-7433. We are MTS. Transporting people is what we do. It's the only thing we do.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Brian.
I'm Lee.
And Merry Christmas, everybody, from the Brian and Lee Show! WWDB to all of you!
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio, The Brian and Lee Show.
And it's good to be back here on another Saturday afternoon in the Delaware Valley. It's a real privilege and a pleasure to have on the guest line today. Kip Harris is with us. He's a author and speaker and author of the book Improbable Joy. Kip, how are you today?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
You know, it's a good day. It's right before Christmas time and
right on
all the festivities. So yeah, we're having a good time.
Good.
Why? Tell us why you wrote the book Improbable Joy.
So I wrote it because what I found in my experience of having cancer three times was this huge group of people who spent the entire time fighting their cancer journey. And we hear this all the time in the media. We hear it from everyone. You got to fight for your life. And I get that. I understand that. And I think it's important not to give up. But there's clear evidence that when you fight against something, you're entering it with a mindset of the possibility of being defeated. So I guess my point is, find something good in it, because I guarantee you there's something good there. And I had an epiphany before I started chemo the very first time. And that epiphany started while I was writing in my journal. And I was wishing away the next 6 months of my life because I knew that I just wanted to get back to normal. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. They just want their life to be the way that it was, right? And with COVID, we can all relate to that, right? We just want this to be over. Mm-hmm. And we want to go back to the way it was. The problem with that mentality is you're wishing away your life. And so I thought, well, I can't wish away my life. I got to find something good in the next 6 months of chemotherapy. And so my intention in that moment was I was going to find something good in the most miserable moments that were about to come for me. And I'm so grateful that I had that epiphany, because the book is just a simple compilation of those stories of moments when I was in extreme pain, agony, whatever it was, but I chose to look around and I found something that changed my life forever. So it's a simple idea, but it's one that I think escapes people, because we generally tend to focus on that which is right in front of us. COVID, yep. Cancer, chemotherapy, vomiting through chemo, whatever it is, that's what we're focused on. So that's kind of how I started, and that was the impetus for the book.
Now, you say that you had cancer three times. Does that mean you had you thought you beat it and then it came back?
Yeah, exactly. The first time I had the wrong surgery and the wrong chemotherapy. Mm. The second time I had the right surgery, but they didn't get it all because it was a really rare type of cancer. And then the third time is when I had the same surgery again and they finally got it all. But, you know, in the end, I was down to 89 pounds at my lowest weight. And it wasn't fun. But I can tell you at the same time, cancer was probably one of the greatest joys of my life, which is a crazy thing to say.
Absolutely. I don't know anyone that, I mean, I'm sitting here now and I don't have cancer, and I can't imagine saying that if I had it, it would be a great, great time in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you really feel that way, correct? That you don't have cancer today. You're cancer free.
That's correct. I do not have cancer today. And I have a feeling, Lee, I don't know that much about you, but, you know, before this call or before this interview, I wanted to, you know, learn a little about you. So I went online, and what it says about you is you're somebody who views life's challenges as opportunities and not obstacles.
And you've done your research.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can sit back and feel sorry for yourself, and it's okay to be sad and it's okay to be angry. But at some point, you got to go, you know, it's going to happen to me whether I want it to or not. So my challenge to people is just look around, because I guarantee you there's something else happening around you that's good and joyful and amazing.
So let's go back to that time. And I don't want to go back necessarily to a sad time, but let's go back to the time that you had cancer. And can you give our listeners an example of some joy that you found in an unexpected place?
So one that sort of stands out to me is, so I'll tell you really quickly, the first time I had surgery, I remember waking up and I thought that it was just going to be a laparoscopic procedure, and it wasn't. And they had cut me, you know, my whole abdomen was cut open, and it was extremely painful. And this nursing assistant came in to clean the wound. And long story short, she was not very nice. and it was painful and it was excruciating. She didn't do it with any care. She just was trying to clean it the way she needed to, regardless of whether or not it hurt me. So this is in my mind, okay? Now fast forward a year and a half later when I just finished a 13 and a half hour surgery, my second surgery, and I'm in surgical intensive care. I have a breathing tube down my throat, so I can't talk. I'm literally laying in the middle of this table, and I saw this woman walk in with a little bucket and a sponge, and I knew exactly what was going to happen. And I flashed back to that moment when that other nursing assistant was so careless and so just awful. And I was petrified. I was absolutely terrified. This woman's coming at me and I can't do anything about it, right? Because tube down my throat. That woman, I don't know her name. I wouldn't recognize her if I saw her today, but she cleaned my wounds and bathed me and washed my hair with love that I can't even explain to you. She was the most kind. I felt it from her. I couldn't talk to her because I had a tube down my throat, but she cared for me with such love that in that moment, I will never, ever forget that. And I think the interesting thing about this is I found joy in a moment of excruciating pain because I was looking. But for her, she's just doing her job. She's just a, you know, not a highly paid worker at the hospital. She does this how many hundreds of times in a month? It's no big deal to her. But what she doesn't recognize is the extent to which she changed my life that day. I will forever remember that moment because of her. And so for me, that's a reminder to all of us. In what way do we have the ability to change people's lives every single day? Because that nursing assistant will never know how much she affected me and how much I felt her love that day. But I did.
Well,
I think it's just a good reminder.
Yeah,
absolutely it is.
Absolutely agree with you 1,000% because you never know when an act of kindness is how it's going to affect somebody. A smile, a kind word, you just don't know. You know, and we all have that in our grasp to do that. We all can do it. You know,
right?
We're just many times so busy during the day that we don't get a chance. We don't think of doing it. But
no.
Yeah. During this time of COVID, we've been indoors. A lot of us been shut in, wearing masks. People are at their wits' end because we can't hug people. We can't normally do what we normally do. Some of us have lost jobs. And some of us have lost their lives or lost family members.
Yeah.
So, what do you say to people? How do you find joy in this time in the year 2020?
Yeah, it's funny because I do a weekly vlog on my website and, just this past Sunday, I talked about those moments when you can't find joy. Because when you're someone like me who's on a constant lookout for it, right? I'm always looking for joy. I want to find it in those places where I just can't get there yet. I don't think COVID's one of those, though. I belong to a support group. Because I also have an ostomy. One of the complications of my surgery was I've lost half my colon and half my small intestine. So I have an ostomy now. So I belong to this support group for people who are new to ostomies, and it helps them deal with this new reality that they live in. We used to meet monthly at a location. Well, COVID comes along. We can't meet in person anymore. No. That doesn't mean there's still not a need. So we decided let's throw it out on Zoom and see what happens. And what happened was people showed up who otherwise couldn't make it to a meeting because they don't have transportation, or I live in Western Minnesota, Eastern North Dakota, and it's very rural. There's people that live in small towns an hour and a half, 2 hours away that could never make it to that meeting. They now get to connect with us because COVID forced us to step outside the box and look at this in a new way. I've reconnected with, I had a conversation with a friend of mine from Spartanburg, South Carolina. I used to work for a company out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. I haven't talked to her since I left there in 2005. We connected because of COVID. We just, you know, you're home and you're stuck. I reached out and I got her phone number and I called her up and said, hey, and that's joy for me. I don't know that I would have done that if the world hadn't, you know, shifted such that I was stuck inside as much as I am. So I think if we look, we can always find something. It doesn't mean we can't look forward to, you know, getting back to normal. But I think if that's all we're looking at is what's about to come, we're missing what's happening right now. And there is good stuff here.
Yeah, you make a terrific point in that most of us focus on what we don't have and what we're missing instead of focusing on the good stuff. Yeah, you know, what I call the good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's plenty of good stuff go around.
There is. And, you know, when you say good stuff, I understand where you're coming from. I get that. But there's an author, her name is Amy Houston, I think. Mm. She wrote this book called Top Tips for Being Happy, something like that. And one of the things she says, she said this in an interview that I heard her giving. She said to the person interviewing her, she said, you know, we're not meant to be happy. And the interviewer was kind of taken back, like, wait a minute, what? And she's like, well, no, we're not meant to be just to be happy. And her point was, we're meant to be sad. We're meant to be lonely. We're meant to be fearful. We're meant to be excited. We're meant to be excited. We're meant to be all of these things, because you can't define joy if you don't know the other emotions. You can't understand love if you don't know hate. So I get it. Good is good. And that's sort of the thing that we always, you know, go for, but you can't understand good if you don't have some bad.
Fair point. That is really fair point. In Judaism, we say, you know, I say a prayer every night and at dinner time, and the prayer basically be, you know, blessing the food, but also I thank God for all the blessings in my life, the good stuff and the bad stuff, you know, everything. Because you can't have one without the other. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you talk about Jewish prayer, and it just in this moment took me back to a time in my life many, many years ago when I was a salesman for a pharmacy software company. And one of my clients invited me over to his house to have Passover dinner with him and his family. Mm. And I have to tell you, it was one of the most, I felt so honored to be a part of that. And I will never, for as long as I live, forget that moment. He's probably forgotten it. And I haven't spoken to him in years because he was a client of mine many, many years ago. So again, it's an example of, he did it because it's just who he is. But I remember that, and it changed my life in a way that he'll never understand.
Wow. What was it about the Seder, the Passover Seder, that you were inspired by or that you thought was interesting?
So I think one of the things I've learned in my life, especially having gone through cancer now 3 times, is that I had to kind of dumb my life down to what's important. What really needs to define my life? And what I've come up with is really 3 simple things: love, joy, and connection. That's all that matters to me. There's nothing else that matters in the world to me except those 3 things. And I think that meal that I had with his family that night had every single one of those things. His family was connected over something that generations of their family have connected over. And that, for me, is just, it was incredible. So it's all of those things.
Yeah,
love, joy,
and
the way that they connected.
And the fact that, a tradition in Judaism is to welcome the stranger into your household. You know, that's part of it, you know, because...
I didn't feel like a stranger. It was so interesting because they made me feel like a part of it. It was incredible.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's, you know, in that event, in that moment, you found some joy because of again something that somebody did. They invited you to have dinner with them, you know,
and I think in today's world we could learn a lot from that event because I'm not Jewish and I don't practice that religion. We are very different people. He and I are very, very different on many levels. But that didn't mean we couldn't come together and celebrate in that moment. And I wish so badly, so much, that we could do that as humans more and more today than we do.
When you see the doctors and nurses at various hospitals around the country and the amount of effort and kindness that they're doing. Yeah, they're doing their job and, you know, they're collecting a paycheck. But, for someone to go into what I call the caring business, you know, the caring for people, you need something internal inside you to do that. And especially during this time. Yeah,
because you can't have patience without patience.
That's right. You can't have patience without patience.
That's right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know, what would you tell someone listening to the program who may be at their wit's end and they may be going through cancer, they may be going through another type of illness, they may be lonely? What would you tell them?
So what I usually tell people, I understand that sometimes it can be lonely, and that's a challenge that I didn't understand quite as much because I had family. My parents flew out to California and moved in with me. If you're lonely, I guess I would say reach out. And that comes from the next thing I'm about to say, which sounds a little harsh, but I've been down this road 3 times. I was down to 89 pounds at my lowest weight. So what I remind cancer patients especially about, but anybody going through anything, is it's not just about you. And that's a hard thing to hear sometimes when you're the one going through chemo and you're the one that has to go through cancer or surgery or whatever it is. But I can guarantee you, as much as I'm sitting here right now, my mom or my dad would much rather have gone through that chemo than watch me go through it. So that's my point. It's not just about me. It was never just about me. Every decision I made, I took into account how it would affect my family. And so if somebody's going through chemo or chemotherapy or whatever it is, we live in this world where people, oh, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I don't want to, you know, inconvenience people. And I say to them, look, if your friend was going through cancer, would you want to be there? Would you want to drive them to the doctor? Would you want to cook them a meal? Invariably, the answer is, of course I would. Well, then why are you not asking your friends to help you? So that's what I would say to people who are going through it now. Stop living in this space of, I don't want to burden people, and give them an opportunity to be a part of it. Because when you don't ask, they don't get to be a part of it. And so you're depriving them of the opportunity to feel the love and the joy and the connection that they get by helping you.
And I think piggybacking off of that, this is also probably very important. They say it's not easy to turn it around until you've been at your lowest point. How difficult is it to pinpoint your lowest point, especially when you're going through it?
Oh, man, my lowest point. You know, because from the beginning, I had this intention to find joy. It's hard for me to pinpoint a lowest point. At my lowest point, obviously, was 89 pounds physically and probably, you know, emotionally. And that was my third time. But I also remember, during my first round of chemo, I did 6 months of chemo. My parents flew out to California the day after I was, you know, had surgery, and they moved in with me and stayed until I finished. I wasn't able to work, so they took care of me and they stayed with me. And at the end of that 6 months, before my parents went back home, I had what I called an I Survived Chemo Party. and I had all my friends over. And so I had all these people in my house, and we were celebrating. I was done with chemo. I was going to go back to work. My parents were going to go back to their house. And I overheard my mom talking to one of my friends. I was standing there, and I overheard her talking to a friend of mine, and she said, you know, Kip used to go in the bathroom and take a bath, and I know he doesn't know this, but I know he was in there crying.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. And
she was right. I was.
Yeah.
You know, you always had those moments where I felt sorry for myself, and I was fed through a tube for 5 months. I couldn't eat food for 5 months straight.
Wow.
And it was depressing, and it was sad, and it was lonely, but I didn't want my mom to see. So I would go take a bath because, you know, I had this feeding tube in my chest, which prevented me from taking showers. I had to take baths, and I would just go in there, and I would cry, and I would feel sorry for myself, and then I'd get over it, and I'd move on. Well, she knew it, and I'm not a parent, so I guess that's a parent thing. You know, I don't know if Brian is a parent, but Lee probably knows.
Oh, sure.
You're connected to your kids in a way. So
Yeah.
I couldn't hide from her, but that was probably one of my other lowest points. It was just those moments. And I don't want to tell people, I don't want to give them the wrong impression that you should just move through chemo and find joy. No, I get it. It's not that simple. It's going to be sad. There's going to be some loneliness, but don't stop looking. Remind yourself that there is something good there, because I seriously guarantee you it's there.
Well, I'm a firm believer that it's not what happens to you as much as dealing with what happens to you and how you deal with that. And you've dealt with some interesting challenges in your life, and I think you're an inspiration to people out there that are dealing with either the same situation or even different situations. But you're an inspiration because you can find joy in it even during the darkest times.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. There's no question about it. And my book is really stories of moments when I found joy in improbable places, moments when you would never, ever imagine that you would find something joyful. But I found it because I looked. I made the intention up front, and I looked, and I found it, and it changed my life. Like, it just absolutely changed everything about the way I live.
Where can our listeners purchase a copy of your book?
So they can go to improbablejoy.com and sign up there, and as soon as it's ready, I will let them know.
Great, great. Very, very good. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show today, and you know, I think it's you're a remarkable individual, and you know, keep finding joy in every day. You know, that's the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, you'll have to come back again, and we'll talk some more.
I would love that. Absolutely.
And I think by the time you come back, it'll be 2021. 2020, get out of here!
Right on. Agreed.
You bet. All right. Take care.
Thanks, Kip.
Thanks, guys. You bet.
We're going to be back after these words.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
A new day has begun, As the sun rises, our staff, drivers, and modern fleet of vehicles are ready. Our wheels are rolling. Mission number one is to safely transport your special needs child to and from school. Getting students to school and home again on time and safe is what we do. It's what we're good at. Transporting people. It's in our name, our minds, and our hearts. For more information, contact us at 215-517-7433. We are MTS. Transporting people is what we do. It's the only thing we do.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving, a public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, yo, how you doing? This is Vince Papali from Invincible, and you're listening to Brian Lee.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking on from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Lee and Brian, we believe.
Yeah. Dr. Elmo.
That's right.
We interviewed Dr. Elmo a few, many years
ages
ago.
Ages ago, it
ages
feels.
Ago. Yeah, we were over at the other station.
Yeah, we were in the garage.
Yeah, we interviewed Dr. Elmo. He's made quite a good living from that song.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Nice guy. Nice
Very
gentleman.
Nice guy.
And I think we interviewed him twice.
Yeah, twice.
Two different Christmases.
And I think that was the second time he was on. He did that
promo. Yeah, I think so. I think so. He did that promo.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Well, the political correctness of sports continues.
Why is that?
It started with the Washington football team.
Yes, yes.
And now it goes to baseball. The Cleveland team has now dropped their name, the Indians.
So what are they going to be called? The Cleveland baseball team?
For right now, probably.
Yeah. Your team is next, Brett.
Yeah. Oh, I'm waiting.
The Chiefs. You got to get rid of those Chiefs.
Can't wait to be called a Kansas City, Kansas City.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I have a friend who lives in Cleveland, and he was an Indians fan.
Yeah.
So I asked him what his thoughts on was this. Joe Madigan, how you doing out there? I'm not a fan of the decision. I understand retiring Chief Wahoo. See, I didn't know that was their mascot.
Yeah, they have a chief, and so does Kansas City.
Apparently, that was the first step to retire the mascot.
What's the name of the mascot?
Chief Wahoo.
Wahoo. Okay. All right.
But to get rid of the name is another.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about it. It is what it is. I'm not going to protest the decision or stop watching games or going to games. I do hope they pick a team name other than the Spiders and Rockers.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. I don't know. Washington is just calling themselves the Washington football team.
Yeah, exactly. The team with no name.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm thinking of calling them the Cleveland Carries.
The Cleveland... How about the Rockers for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, that's what he was just saying. He doesn't want it to be called the Rockers.
He doesn't want it to be called the Rockers.
I don't know where he gets Spiders from.
The Cleveland Rollers?
I don't know.
Spiders? I don't know where that would come from. But, hey, I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, my idea is a little too cerebral.
Yeah, what's your idea?
I just said the Cleveland Carries.
Cleveland Carries? I don't get it.
Yeah, Drew Carey.
Oh, no. No one's going to know that.
Nobody knows about Cleveland Rocks?
No. Sorry.
Like I said, too cerebral.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Bad idea.
Well, some people have been saying we should change our name from the Phillies to the Cheesesteaks.
The Cheesesteaks.
Why not?
There you go.
I like a good cheesesteak. Yeah. How about this? You guys take the cheesesteak name and then give the Cleveland the Phillies name. The Cleveland Phillies. And you guys can be the Philadelphia Cheesesteaks.
No, I don't think so. What do you think about the Kansas City Chiefs? Don't they have a chief as a mascot?
Or did they drop that?
He rides out on a horse and stuff, doesn't he?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Waiting for us to get in trouble for that.
What's his name?
What's that?
What's the mascot's name?
I don't even know.
Chief Wahoo or something, right?
Yeah,
Chief
Wellington, it's obvious why they retired the mascot.
Yeah, well, they're
Wahoo.
But they haven't done that, right, at the Chiefs?
Not yet.
No. So they better get with it, you know.
Well, if they really want to make it sound bad, then you call it, my name is Chief Joaquin Slowly.
I was thinking Chief Wellington.
Wellington. All right. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, Chief Halftown was taken.
Chief Halftown was taken.
And what's the one from your childhood? Thunder Thighs or Thunder Thud?
No. It was Chief Halftown.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of the one from Howdy Doody.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Thundercloud or something?
Yeah, Thunder Thud or whatever.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, apparently his tribe was called the Arachnid. Arachnude.
The Arachnid.
I can't even say it right. Basically, his tribe was kangaroos spelled backwards.
Oh, okay.
Whose?
Chief Thunder Thud.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was a puppet.
No, it was a real person.
It was a real person.
Yeah, the puppet was Howdy Doody.
Right.
And then there was the Flubbadub.
The Flubbadub, that was a puppet.
Yeah, that was eight animals in one.
Right.
But now I'm getting into TV history. I'm going off on a tangent here, folks. I'm sorry.
You're going way out there. Well, I...
Get me back to Christmastown.
Apple came out with Apple Fitness, where you can do fitness at home. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
They have an app now, okay, and you pay for it, but it finally came out the other day. I download it, you know, and it works very well. You can, anywhere you want, on your phone, on the iPad, on the Apple TV, on your computer, you can now work out. Whenever you want.
Newsflash, Lee, that's been around for 10 years.
Yeah, but now...
Apple is just getting into it.
What's going on?
But when Apple gets into something, it's at home. They have instructors that conduct these classes.
Yeah, a lot of the other platforms do that, too.
They do.
This proves that Apple is out of ideas, and they're just waiting for somebody to come up with the next great thing and then steal it.
But Apple, that's what they do. When Apple gets involved with it...
No, Apple used to be so innovative.
Well, they are innovative.
No, they're not. They're out of it. They're more out of ideas than Hollywood.
Listen, when they get involved with something, they crush it. They crush the competition like a cockroach. You know what I'm saying?
But they're getting crushed, so now they have to... If they can't beat them, join them.
No, they're... You watch. They're going to take over. That's what they did with Apple TV and the original. There were original movies all over the place. Now they're coming in.
Yeah, well, there were original movies on Netflix before Apple TV.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're competing with Netflix. But I still
think out of ideas.
Netflix does it a little better. Their movies are a little
better.
Come on,
Brett. Back me up.
Yeah.
What movies are better, Netflix?
No, I'm saying it.
No. I said that Apple's out of ideas.
I won't judge with Apple.
Oh, okay.
Netflix movies are a little better than the Apple movies.
Well, they are because they're getting a bigger budget.
Yeah. I haven't seen any Apple movies. I was really loving Netflix. I still do, but I'm spoiled with Amazon now.
Yeah, oh, really?
Amazon is good.
Amazon's so much better with shows, and they have more variety of better movies.
They do. I did watch on Netflix... a movie. Well, I watched The Crown. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I actually, it's funny you say that. I got distracted and I watched the top 10 best shows of 2020. And The Crown made number 10.
Yes, it did.
It's really cool.
And the Queen's Gambit.
That was like number 4 or 5 or something.
Right.
Funny story. I have not seen this yet, but there's a video game YouTuber on YouTube. Apparently, he said, I've seen the Queen's Gambit, and now I want to play chess.
Yeah, well, that...
Do that.
And he made a video of himself playing computer chess.
It makes me want to play chess.
Do you see who number 7 and number 1 was?
No.
Number 7, Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
Number 1?
Yeah.
The Boys.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Of course.
I was not surprised.
Yeah, that was a good move. That was a good show.
Love that show. I got my dad watching it just last week.
It's coming back.
Oh, it is. I mean, in August or July.
It's coming back. But, I like Queen's Gambit is really good at the end. Really good. I mean,
I heard good things about it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now here's a interesting question. What is your favorite rendition of A Christmas Carol?
Rendition?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Magoo. I like Mr. Magoo.
I figured you'd say that. For a long time, it was Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that's okay.
But now, recently, I think it's the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay. That's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I have to rewatch that again.
Mm-hmm.
The Muppet's Christmas Carol.
You know who's making the new Stooge movie?
No.
What was it called? Christmas Carol, right?
Yeah.
They don't call it the Scrooge. They call it Christmas Carol,
well,
right?
Well, there was a version that was called Scrooged.
Yeah.
So, next Christmas Carol is going to be in London. The guy who's playing Scrooge, Andrew Lincoln.
Oh, really?
The guy who played Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead.
Mm.
Now, is he going to have a gun and stuff?
I hope.
Not in the 18th. Well, you're going to have
a revolver.
Pistol. Yeah, I was going to say you have a revolver in the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been wondering where he's been. He's the Scrooge now.
Wow. He's branching out, isn't
Heck
he?
Heck yeah.
Apparently, I've heard some other people say that their favorite version is the one with Albert Finney. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know who played the Scrooge in the Muppets?
Yep, Michael Caine.
Yep, and he also played Alfred in the Dark Knight trilogy.
That's right.
That's where you draw these parallels.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's where it all happens.
These connections, it's amazing. What's your favorite Christmas candy?
Candy wise? Oh, I don't know.
Or cookies or
cookies, cakes. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the chocolate cookies, the chocolate stars with the white non-perils.
Mine's chocolate chip.
The white sprinkles.
Oh, the white sprinkles.
Mine's chocolate chip with a side of revenge.
Oh, man.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, the technical term is non-perils or non-perils.
Okay. All
right. We just call them sprinkles.
How about you, Lee?
I like candy canes.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I like candy canes and the kisses from Hershey's.
Oh, they're good.
Hershey's kisses, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they have now the ones with peppermint in there.
Oh, really?
It's white chocolate with peppermint kisses. Mm-hmm.
All you. You have all of them.
Yeah, I like this.
Can you believe also after 30 years they changed their Christmas commercial just slightly?
Did they?
Yeah,
well, kissing one, right? The chocolate kisses?
Yeah, the one where they become jingle bells.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it for half the commercial, and then somebody's hand reaches in, and then they did that, and then it goes to another Hershey's Kisses commercial.
Wow. Oh, that's odd. That commercial is older than me.
Yeah, it is. It was 1989.
Yeah.
That first hit the airwaves.
Didn't know that. There you go.
Speaking of airwaves, in Deptford... I'm trying to figure out the street, but in Deptford, you can look it up. There's a guy displaying Christmas lights, and you change into a radio station, and you listen to whatever Christmas music they're playing, and they show the Christmas lights.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Best one is the Super Mario Christmas music. It's Super Mario sound effects, but Christmas jingle.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever heard that. I'm going to have to check that out now.
Yeah, I got to figure it out after the show where it's at.
So, best Christmas song? What's your best Christmas song?
Last Christmas by Wham.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas. I give you my heart.
That's by Wham, huh?
Apparently, Wham. I kept forgetting who did it because, it sounds so 80s.
I thought it was Mariah Carey.
Nah, well, not me.
Well, no, she might have done a version.
No.
Because, everybody copies everybody.
No, that's what I'm saying. I thought Mariah Carey did
Last Christmas. Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey.
Yeah, that's her favorite.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Everyone jokes around about that because they say that's like the most overrated one.
And the best, and she's still around doing it.
Who?
Darlene Love.
Darlene Which one is that?
Love, and she does it every year.
What song?
The Christmas song. I don't know. You have to...
Oh, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
Yeah.
That's legendary.
Yeah, yeah.
Very depressing melody.
When I think of that, I think of Christmas Eve night, Christmas morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yes.
And,
probably the most overplayed is, I'm sorry, John Lennon. Simply having
really?
A wonderful Christmas time.
No way, I like that one.
That's a good one.
Well, I liked it until I worked at CVS and they played it like once an hour or twice an hour.
I think Mariah Carey is the most overplayed one.
Yeah, but I still like it. I still like it.
Christmas movies?
Christmas movies. Ooh. Well, certainly Magoo's Christmas Carol.
But actual full-length feature.
No.
He's talking about.
The cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I'm still going with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Now, that's a great one. That was on the other night.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. But
I didn't watch it either.
I like Die Hard. If you're counting Die Hard as a Christmas movie, Die Hard.
It was John MacGruber, or not John MacGruber.
And now you're...
John MacGruber.
Yeah.
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 And now your homework for the weekend. Watch Batman Returns and let me know if you think it's a Christmas movie.
I do need to see that again and then watch Die Hard right after.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I think Batman Returns was the only movie I didn't see.
Right.
The one with the penguin? Danny
yeah,
DeVito?
Exactly. I mean, I've only seen snippets of it, so I didn't know it was around Christmas time.
And how about Home Alone?
Home Alone, of course.
That's a classic.
That is a classic. I like Home Alone 2 more, though.
You do.
My favorite Christmas movie used to be Christmas Story, but now, after 5 years ago, it is The Night Before with Seth Rogen and two other guys.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
It's newer. I love that. I love comedy, raunchy comedy. It's Christmas,
too. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of a toss-up for me. For the longest time, it was the original Home Alone, but I can see where Home Alone 2 would be more memorable.
Yeah.
Okay. Or legendary for me.
Yeah. Mainly because Bob Eubanks makes a 5-second cameo.
So does your boy Donald Trump.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
Everyone, have a wonderful Christmas holiday season. We're going to be back next week with our end of year show.
That's right. We're about ready to kiss 2020 goodbye.
Amen. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the holiday.
And don't forget, have a holly jolly Christmas.
And be strong, stay strong, wear a mask, wash your hands.
The Brian and Lee Show is a BLS production.